Today, we'll explore the impact of prioritizing love and intentionally focusing on relationships with others. Love plays an essential role in shaping our interactions, decisions, and priorities, and we'll explore the transformative power of empathy, compassion, and connection. Love is a guiding principle that not only enriches our own lives, but also contributes to building a more compassionate and interconnected society. Has your love for others grown as you've matured? Welcome to Life Repurposed. This is where midlife meets inspiration, practical guidance, and renewed purpose amid life's evolving chapters. We navigate faith questions and messy, uncertain twists with humor and a commitment to pursue treasure, even in the hard stuff. I'm your host, Michelle Rayburn, the author of books and Bible studies about finding hope in the trashy stuff of life. In Aristotle's Rhetoric, he said, "The body is in its prime from 30 to 35, and the mind is in its prime around 49. Think about that a little bit. Our bodies were probably in their prime a while ago if you're in midlife, but your mind might be in some of its sharpest phase. And that also means that our emotional maturity and our soul maturity, our thoughts, should also align with that." So we're going to be looking today at how it aligns with love. You know, it's funny sometimes how life works. When we're young, it's all about chasing dreams, figuring out who we are, and making our mark on the world. But as we mature, something changes. It's like our priorities start to shift, and suddenly, it's not just about us anymore. Yes, we still pursue dreams and goals, and we even start over a few times, maybe having multiple careers and fresh goals multiple times. I've done that. But as we add spouses and family members and children and nieces and nephews and friends and others all into that mix, we start to realize that others matter more than the things that mattered to us at one time. Some of you listening have set aside a career for a while to be at home raising children. Others adjusted their hours to accommodate their children's schedules. Maybe you've cared for parents. You've packed up and moved. I think part of it all has to do with us getting a little wiser with age. You know, life throws all sorts of curveballs at us, and over time, we start to learn from those experiences. We gain a deeper understanding of ourselves, especially, and then the world around us. And it's like our souls start to mature alongside our bodies. They just aren't at the same rate. And you know this if you've ever observed a teenage boy. You know that their body and their capacity to make wise decisions are not maturing at the same rate. So we have that same kind of thing in our life. As we look at our maturity, we start to realize there's more to life than just chasing after success or material possessions. We begin to value things like love and kindness and connection with others. It's like we start to see the bigger picture and recognize what truly matters. That shift in priorities has a profound effect on how we love others. When we're younger, love might be more about passion or excitement, but as we age, it becomes more about something deeper, something more meaningful. We learn to love others better because we understand the importance of compassion and empathy and selflessness. It's like we become more attuned to the needs of those around us. We're better able to offer support and encouragement and understanding because we've been there ourselves. We know what it's like to struggle, to hurt, and to hope. And that empathy allows us to love others in a way that's truly authentic and genuine. In the process, then, we become better at loving others not because we have to, but because we want to. It's because we understand the incredible power of love to heal, to uplift, and to transform both ourselves and the world around us. Life is often marked by introspection, by questioning, reevaluation of priorities. It's a time when you may seek deeper meaning and purpose and fulfillment. For many, this period coincides with the desire to live a life aligned with your values, which are based on your understanding of God's purpose for your life. In exploring what it means to live like Jesus, the concept of love emerges as a central theme. Love, in its various forms, becomes not only a guiding principle, but also a transformative force in navigating through this phase of midlife. That is why I call this podcast Life Repurposed, because that transformation is what changes in us. And maybe somebody doesn't even recognize you anywhere, not because your body's changed or your hair is gray or anything like that. They don't recognize you because maybe there's a new sense of joy on your face, or there's a sense of contentment that you didn't have when they knew you before. This week's track in the Midlife Mixtape mini-series is called What's Love Got to Do with It? At the very heart of Jesus' life and ministry is a profound and timeless principle, love. It's a principle that transcends time, culture, and circumstance. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see someone who embodied this principle in every aspect of his being. And when you think about it, no matter what culture we live in, and no matter what circumstance, rich, poor, in the United States, overseas, whether we're at work or at home, love is something we can express no matter where we are. It doesn't change. How we express it in the midst of the culture may feel like it changes, but the core value of love is no different. One of the things that we need to remember about Jesus is that he didn't just talk about love. He lived it out in his everyday interactions. Whether he was sharing parables, delivering sermons, or simply spending time with people, his actions spoke volumes about the depth of his love and compassion. Think about it for a moment. Jesus welcomed the outcasts, the marginalized, and the overlooked with open arms. He didn't care about their social status, their past mistakes, their religious background. Instead, he saw them for who they truly were, beloved children of God worthy of love and dignity. Jesus' teachings challenged the status quo of his time. He shattered those societal norms by emphasizing the need for love to transcend those barriers of race, religion, and social status. In a world divided by prejudice and discrimination, Jesus' message was love, and that was revolutionary. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't just preach about love, he showed us how to love through his actions. He healed the sick, he comforted the brokenhearted, he forgave the repentant. He didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. It isn't that hard for me to love my children, my friends, and my extended family, people I know and love. There's the word love. And while I've made sacrifices for them over the years, I can't say that it comes naturally for strangers. Yes, I have compassion when I hear stories in the news, but it's easy to put those out of my mind. It's easy to put my head down and just keep going with my shopping cart when I'm trying to get my to-do list accomplished when I'm out and about. It's easy for me to focus on my family and friends and just hurry up and get home and stay in that circle. What's love got to do with it? The transformative power that Jesus focused on is to go beyond the principle of the people in my family tree. The compassion is to apply to strangers too, to people who are different from me, people who even might annoy me a bit. This level of maturity goes to the soul level. While my body is starting to betray me with sore hips and creaky joints and all that stuff, my brain is telling me there's still some maturing and growing to do. You have not arrived, Michelle. When we continue growing in love toward others, we're not only honoring Jesus' legacy, but we also make the world a little brighter, a little kinder, and a little more like the kingdom of God. Let's talk about those relationships. Relationships hold a special place in shaping our experiences and defining who we are. While familial bonds and friendships and romantic connections are undeniably significant, there's another dimension to love that often gets overlooked. The love we extend beyond our inner circles to those who are not in our families and who may not think like we do. Living like Jesus means embracing a love that knows no bounds, a love that extends beyond the familiar and reaches out to embrace the stranger, the outsider, and the marginalized. It's about embodying the qualities such as empathy, kindness, and selflessness in our interactions with others, regardless of whether they share our beliefs or values. In the hustle and bustle of life, it's easy to get caught up in our own routines and forget the importance of intentional relationships, that deliberate effort to cultivate meaningful connections with others. Living like Jesus calls us to be intentional in our relationships, to extend love and compassion to all regardless of their backgrounds or beliefs. So how do we become more intentional with our relationships? Well, here are some practical steps and concepts to consider. First, we need to practice active listening. One of the most powerful ways to show love and empathy to others is by actively listening to them. Put away the distractions, make eye contact, and truly engage with what the other person is saying. Validate their feelings and experiences, even if you don't necessarily agree with them. They're feeling what they're feeling. By being fully present in the moment, you demonstrate that you value and respect their perspective, even if it isn't the same. And my top piece of advice is to put down that darn phone. Put it away and practice active listening with the people. This means also when we're out and about. I don't know if you've been at a coffee shop with somebody before where you're having a conversation, but they keep looking at their phone or they keep looking around at the people who are coming and going in the restaurant. It's really important to make that eye contact and to really have the other person perceive that we are truly engaged in what they're saying. The next thing that we want to consider is seeking to understand. In our increasingly polarized world, it's essential to cultivate a mindset of curiosity and openness toward those who may think differently from us. Instead of approaching conversations with the intent to persuade or convince, we want to seek to understand the other person's viewpoint, ask questions, express genuine interest, and be willing to learn from their experiences. When we promote a spirit of mutual respect and empathy, it creates a space for meaningful dialogue and connection. It's amazing how many things I understand when I pause to set aside my opinion and then pursue that connection. I find out that I have a lot more in common sometimes with people than I realized because I'm presupposing some things about our relationship and I'm not really seeking to understand. Along with this comes the concept of practicing empathy. This is the ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes and understand their feelings and experiences. Cultivating empathy requires us to step outside of our own perspectives and genuinely connect with the emotions of others. Practice empathy by expressing compassion and support to those who are struggling. Again, it's the listening ear, and it's providing the comfort in times of need. And the empathy does not mean trumping them with a story of your own or somebody else who went through something. I catch myself doing this all the time. It's not empathy, and yet I'm trying to find some commonality, and I just blurt things out. Too much comes out of my mouth. It's not empathy. It's an attempt, but it's not empathy. So we want to validate the other people's feelings, and we want to demonstrate that they're not alone in their struggles. And if we can't relate because we haven't been there, we can say things like, I'm here for you. So I say this, but it's easier said than done. And it's especially easier said than done if that person has some annoying ideology. And this is why we're always growing and we're always practicing, because that kind of love comes with a lot of practice. Now, one place we can begin with that is the next concept, and that is extending acts of kindness. If I don't know where to start with somebody and I'm feeling like I could really be annoyed by this person, small acts of kindness can really have a profound impact on others, and it can strengthen the bonds of a connection. And it doesn't have to be fake or artificial, but it does take practice, and sometimes we have to push ourselves a little bit. So it might be easy. It might be offering a helping hand to a neighbor, sending a thoughtful note to a friend, or volunteering our time for a cause that we really believe in. But then we want to look for those opportunities that go outside of our daily life, that go outside of the easy stuff. It can be small. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can still be something like giving a compliment to the person who did a great job with being friendly at the bank. Something like, wow, your smile really made my day today. Thank you for being so friendly on this really busy day. I had a phone call with somebody recently who took my call on Easter Sunday to deal with fraud on my credit card. I thanked the person for working on Easter Sunday. We can thank the barista who pours our coffee. Maybe it's the student nurse who did a great job with practicing with her supervisor on taking your vital signs, or maybe putting an IV in you and practicing. I was that student nurse one time, and I had to poke people more than once to get an IV in. I loved it if they were kind and compassionate with me. By practicing generosity and compassion, you create a ripple effect of positivity and goodwill in your community and even in those relationships with strangers. So this is the place to begin. When we do something kind for somebody else, we see the smile and we see where we have something in common. The last thing is something I talk about so much on the Life Repurposed podcast, but it's also important and I will never like let go of it as an important thing. So it's here again, and that is to be practicing forgiveness. Life often brings with it baggage, those past hurts, the regrets, the unresolved conflicts. And just as Jesus preached forgiveness and reconciliation, living like Jesus necessitates us letting go of resentment and embracing forgiveness. Now, again, I'm not talking about things like abuse that has not been handled. We all have baggage that goes beyond like a simple forgiveness. So I am not trying to trivialize your pain. Your process of forgiveness may be very long, and that is completely understandable. So I'm not trying to patronize or make it sound like, you know, I'm giving you some platitudes about forgiving. But in general, I have found that in life, a lot of the hurts that I deal with and that just get under people's skin are not always big things. They're not always abuse. They're not always betrayal or huge conflict. They're often small things. And practicing forgiveness by letting go of resentment for those smaller hurts and things like that really help to ease some of the challenges that we have with the bigger things. And again, I know people who have forgiven really large hurts, but it has taken time and it is a process. So if you're in that situation, you may find yourself really struggling with that, the burden of bitterness that comes up. Maybe you're trying to make space for healing and reconciliation. That's all part of the process. And one of the beautiful things is that God gives us grace in the middle of that process of us trying to practice the forgiveness that He wants us to practice. Now, you've probably heard many times people talking about how that sets you free, and I think that is true. It sets my heart free to practice love again when I can forgive when somebody else has hurt me. As we think about these concepts and put them in our daily life, we embody the love and compassion exemplified by Jesus. This is a life that is repurposed for love. By actively listening, seeking to understand, practicing empathy, extending those acts of kindness, and practicing forgiveness, we create a foundation of meaningful connection and solidarity with others. And this fosters more loving and compassionate people in our world. And I would love to meet more loving and compassionate people, wouldn't you? So let's be those people. When we become those people, it makes the world a different place. Life can be a period of introspection and self-discovery where we really wrestle with the questions of our identity and purpose. And in mirroring Jesus's authenticity and vulnerability, it means acknowledging our own vulnerabilities and our own imperfections. Now, Jesus didn't have those. He didn't have imperfections, but He had that vulnerability when He was with people. And so when we're practicing it, we're taking it and mingling it with our imperfections, and we're acknowledging that we have those. And then we're cultivating self-compassion along with acceptance for others. And so as we accept ourselves and we accept others, we go through this process where we deepen our connection with others and with even understanding ourselves more. That self-reflection is not a bad thing. It really helps me to look at, like, what would I do differently and what would I like to grow more of in my life? And so this whole process fosters genuine relationships that are built on honesty and trust. Love is central to the Christian life. It has to be. There is no other way. We cannot justify everything by saying it's the loving thing to confront or it's the loving thing to let someone experience consequences. Yes, I know there are all sorts of examples of why we should discipline children, why we can't let people ruin their lives by taking a path to destruction. However, it's harder to love someone where they are than it is to throw should at them or throw lectures at them. People often forget that love is central to the Christian life for several reasons, and I'm going to get into those here. But I want to underscore that idea that sometimes we justify things because we're trying to play the judge and jury and the one like policing people. We're trying to be the law keepers and keep everybody in line. And we forget that it's okay sometimes to just make love our first action and build those relationships. Now, why is it that people often forget that love is central to the Christian life? Well, let's look at those. First, misinterpretation of scripture happens when people focus more on the specific doctrines and rules or rituals that are outlined in the religious texts, and they miss the overarching message of love. This selective interpretation can overlook or downplay the significance of love in Christian teachings. I've been guilty of this so many times. I'm way too zoomed in on my own biases to truly have someone else's best interests at heart. Personal bias and prejudice can cloud understanding, and it really blocks that love. Love is important in Christian faith. And when we block that love, it leads to discrimination and exclusion and judgmental attitudes towards others. And so when I believe I'm right, then I often forget about love. But the biggest thing that I've been working on cultivating is even when I believe I'm right, even when I believe those other people are practicing this all wrong, like that is not what the Bible says, people, love still comes first. And so that is really the biggest practice. When we ask, what's love got to do with it? Everything. Everything. We have to know scripture first. So legalism and religious practices sometimes become overly focused in the stricter interpretations of doctrine, and we lose sight of the transformative power of love. We can also lose sight of scripture and just get drawn into rigid traditions and just forget to look at what Jesus said. So we always want to go back to scripture and look and see that love is the heart of the gospel. The second reason that we often forget that love is central to the Christian life is that cultural influences can overshadow the foundational message of love within Christianity, especially in societies where success, power, or conformity are highly valued. There's a fear that being, quote, too loving can condone someone's sin or cause them to sin even more. My question is, was Jesus too loving to anyone he met? Was it harsh lectures that changed their minds? Culture exerts a powerful influence on our understanding and practice of biblical principles of love. It can lead us astray toward a focus on power and politics. In cultures that prioritize individualism, polarization, and materialism, and that political partisanship, the essence of love can become obscured by self-interest, divisiveness, and even like a sense of tribalism, or divide instead of unite people. As societies become increasingly driven by personal gain and ideological divides, it's easy to lose sight of the call to love one another as we love ourselves. However, by remaining grounded in the teachings of Jesus Christ and prioritizing love and compassion and unity over cultural distractions, we can strive to build a more inclusive and compassionate society, one that reflects the transformative power of God's love. This takes intentionality. This takes thinking through some of the things that are like foundational to us. It shakes us up. When I've wrestled with some of my ideas of things, it's made me ask so many questions. And I'm like, am I even the same person anymore? If you're wrestling with that, it's okay. It's okay. It means you're trying to look at what is the core of Jesus's message and really getting at that. The last reason that we sometimes forget that love is the core of Christian life is because of the distractions and the priorities in daily life that lead us to become preoccupied with our concerns. It might be our material possessions, our personal ambitions, whatever it is. We just put love in a secondary position, and then we're just thinking about managing all of those things. And scripture says, above all, put on love. So we come back to the question, what's love got to do with it? Love is not merely a sentiment. It's a guiding principle that shapes how we build relationships. It's how we participate in the culture around us. It's how we establish priorities in our lives. At its core, love is about connection. It's about seeing and valuing humanity in others, regardless of our differences. When we approach relationships with love, we end up then prioritizing empathy and compassion and understanding and those mutual connections that are built on mutual respect and care. Love influences how we engage with the culture around us. It encourages us to seek common ground. It encourages us to celebrate some of our differences and work toward the common good. Love informs our priorities then, and it guides us to prioritize the well-being of others over our personal gain. And that is one of the things that I've wrestled with. You know, I'm one of these who just loves to be a little, I'm introverted. I just love to be home. I just like to be cozy and comfy and pretend that the rest of the world isn't around me. And when God wakes me up, I have to pay attention to what's going on around me. I have to look at others and I have to understand their needs and their priorities. And one of the things that's been important for me to remember is that love isn't just a feeling, it's a way of being in the world. It's a transformative force that has the power to shape our relationships and our culture and our priorities. So before we leave today, before we wrap up, I want to look at some ways that we can cultivate a loving mindset. Because if you've come to this place and you say, well, I get it, you know, here I am, either approaching midlife or in midlife, and I know that I have become kind of set in my ways, and I don't even know where to begin, and I'm really annoyed by that other political party, and I just don't really, I don't know how I want to even mingle in those circles. And so here are some ways where we can work on cultivating our own mindset, which then opens us up to be more, kind of primes the pump for us to really put love first. So the first thing that will help us cultivate that loving mindset is to have an awareness. It is to change our mindset and become aware of our own thoughts and our beliefs and our behaviors. So notice when you're feeling judgmental or closed-minded toward others who hold different perspectives. Like, acknowledge the feeling that you're having. Acknowledge biases or prejudices that might influence your mindset. Now, the first step for me was not, you know, like acknowledging them didn't mean I just immediately threw them out and I was a transformed person. But it does mean like looking at it and later it comes back to mind and it gives me like kind of those, wow, if I could have a do-over, I would do that differently. And then the next opportunity is my opportunity for a do-over. And when we shine a light on those patterns and we start to challenge our own thinking, that's when we can start to transform our thinking. So take some time to reflect on the roots of your own beliefs and attitudes. Ask yourself why you hold certain opinions and whether they align with your values of love or compassion and empathy. Consider how your past experiences, your upbringing, your cultural influences may have shaped your worldview. By gaining insight into the origins of your mindset, you can begin to make conscious choices about what you want to think and how you want to behave moving forward. The other thing in this awareness is questioning your own assumptions and stereotypes about people who hold different viewpoints. And those questions can be painful at first. And the challenge is to go and look beyond the surface level differences and look for common ground and asking, do I have some assumptions and stereotypes that maybe I need to set aside? Maybe I've always held this point of view and I realize that this is not something that enriches our understanding of other people. So when you see that diversity of thought actually does enrich our collective understanding, then we can lead to those innovative solutions to complex problems. We start to look at new ideas and new perspectives, and we make space for growth and collaboration with other people. Now, again, this is easier said than done. Sounds great ideologically, but this is when we open ourselves to just being aware, then we are ready for when those opportunities come. It's a process of kind of rebuilding. When we deconstruct faith, you know, this is something that we maybe you've heard people talk about. I've talked about it often on the podcast. It's not destroying. Deconstructing is to pull apart some of the pieces and then rebuild with the things that belong there. And we cannot rebuild without love at the foundation. The second thing that we can do as we're trying to look for practical ways to cultivate love is, again, empathy and compassion. I've already defined what empathy is, but when we're cultivating it, then we're starting to practice active listening, asking questions, and not attacking questions, just seeking to understand kind of questions. And then we're looking for the underlying emotions that might drive somebody else's beliefs and looking at like, oh, wow, they've been through that experience. Maybe that explains why they think this way. Remember that everyone has a unique life story. Everyone has different experiences that have shaped their worldview. So when we empathize with others, we begin to look at like, oh, that is their worldview. And we see it as interesting and intriguing and not as angering, if that helps you for understanding. Empathizing with others means we're fostering those connections, we're breaking down the barriers of polarization, and we're looking for connection. Now, we can approach our interactions with people from a place of compassion and kindness. And one of the things to practice then in this is instead of reacting with anger and defensiveness, and we know when that's coming, we feel it, you know, somebody's talking and you just kind of feel like, oh, wow, I can feel the response starting to grow. And it's definitely going to be a defensive response. When we stop it right there and we choose to respond with understanding and grace, it breaks that chain. When you recognize that everyone is navigating their own challenges and struggles, and we extend compassion toward their journey, then we begin to understand other people. We begin to let go of the resentments that hold us back from cultivating those loving relationships. Along with this, another practice that we can do is seeking common ground. Look for common values and interests that unite you with others, instead of focusing solely on differences. Now, you've probably been in circles where no matter what you're doing, certain irritating topics of conversation keep coming up, and you might have to establish some groundwork and or ground rules and say, we're just not going to talk about this. You know, maybe we're not going to talk about theological differences, or we're not going to talk about political differences. But when you look for opportunities to collaborate and work together, it might be common hobbies. Maybe it's community gardening or cooking or sports or something that's a starting point for building a connection where you say, we're going to do this and we're going to enjoy the time and the common things we have together, and we're not going to go to those other topics of conversation. You can identify common values then and beliefs that you and the other person hold dear. So it may be that you have a lot of differences, but maybe you really value something related to the environment and you could collaborate on a community cleanup project, or you could advocate for policies that affect conservation efforts or something like that. Shared experiences can create bonds between people. And if you discover that you and someone else have gone through similar challenges or triumphs, acknowledge those experiences and use them as a basis for empathy and understanding. And this means sharing stories, because when you share a story with somebody else, you get to know them and you can offer support for something they've been through. You can strengthen the connection because you know more about one another and you find those common places. Engage in open and respectful dialogue with others, even when you hold opposing viewpoints. This one is hard for me because sometimes, again, the defensiveness comes up, or I feel really attacked or disappointed or something, and the emotions are so hard to control. And so one of the things that has helped is to listen actively to their perspective and ask clarifying questions. I may express my own thoughts and feelings, and only if I can do them in a calm and non-confrontational manner. And this is, again, where my emotional maturity is still growing. I'm still working on this. I'm looking for areas of agreement and common understanding where we can build on those, and then we can gain this mutual respect and collaboration. And it takes time. It takes learning how to manage our own emotions. Now, as we think about all these things, and we think about love, it becomes abundantly clear that prioritizing love and intentionally focusing on relationships with others is not just a nice thing we do, but it's a necessary thing for navigating the complexities of life. When we recognize that love is the cornerstone of our existence, everything else falls into place. It guides how we treat others, how we navigate challenges, how we contribute to the world around us. By prioritizing love, we not only enrich our own lives, but we create a ripple effect of positivity and kindness that extends beyond ourselves. So what's love got to do with it? Everything. Love is the foundation upon which we build our relationships, our communities, and our society. It's the driving force behind our interactions, our decisions, and our priorities. And as we embrace the transformative power of love and intentionally focus on nurturing those meaningful connections with others, we not only fulfill the greatest commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves, but we also pave the way for a more compassionate empathetic, and interconnected world. And I don't know about you, but that's a world I want to live in. So I invite you to join me in practicing growing our love and asking that question, what's love got to do with it? Thanks for listening to Life Repurposed. Would you like more? Check out the Life Repurposed magazine on Substack and get resources, weekly musings, and conversations with others. Just go to liferepurposed.me.